We're facing a foe the like of which we've never faced before. We're facing Islam.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we investigate a key threat to our security as a nation.
They want to establish societies based in Islamic laws.
The immigration debate divides the nation. But what should we be most concerned about from a security standpoint?
This infiltrating into a country, into the host country, taking advantage of their tolerance with the ultimate goal of organizing interior to overthrow it.
We uncover the reality of radical Islam on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Immigration is one of the most divisive issues in America today. Through the last 200 plus years, millions of people have migrated to these shores and helped build this great country. America is indeed the land of opportunity, but does government, doing its biblical duty, have the responsibility to protect us against those who come here with no intention of becoming American, but rather seeking to topple America from the inside? For those adhering to radical Islam, their migration has an altogether different purpose. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
We do believe as Muslims the East and the West will one day be governed by the Sharia. Indeed, we believe that one day the flag of Islam will fly over the White House.
And by Allah, we will conquer the White House. Allah, Allah!
These statements by Muslim clerics seem extreme. Does that reflect accurately what most schools of Islam believe?
The goal of Islam in the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, whose teachings that are considered authentic by Muslims are normative for Islamic law and practice, are consistent in teaching that it is part of the responsibility of Muslims to wage war against unbelievers and to subjugate them under the rule of Islamic law and to make them pay tribute to the Muslims and to accept various humiliating and discriminatory regulations if they want to continue to practice their faith. They never enjoy equal rights with the Muslims.
But we are repeatedly told that Islam is a religion of peace.
Islam is peace.
Islam teaches peace.
Islam is a religion of peace, yes. The peace that Islam envisions is the peace that will come when the whole world is ruled by Islamic law, and Muslims have the obligation to wage war against non-Muslims until that time. And so it's a religion of violence and hatred and supremacism, ultimately culminating in an era of peace that will see the essential enslavement of non-Muslims.
There's a doctrine within Islam called al-hijra, meaning the migration. Some Muslims flee the violence in their Islamic homelands and want to enjoy a peaceful life in the U.S. But experts warn there are other Muslims dedicated to changing America into an Islamic society, one immigrant at a time.
Islam has what they view as a divine call to bring the world into submission to Allah. It's a religion of peace, but their definition of the word peace is different than the West. The West defines peace as different groups getting along. Fundamentalist Islam defines peace as when the whole world submits to the will of Allah. When the whole world submits to the will of Allah, there's peace. There's no one left to fight. And so they view their command that they want to bring the world into submission to the will of Allah. They can do it very quickly through attacks or very slowly through al-hijra, through this infiltration, so to speak. This goes back to Muhammad himself, where he was chased out of Mecca and he came into Medina as an immigrant. He looked very non-threatening. The Jews were very tolerant of him. He goes into the minority neighborhoods in Medina, finds some pagans who have grievances against the Jewish-controlled government in the city, and he begins to organize them into a following.
Muhammad and his followers then ended up beheading some 700 Jews in Medina, who earlier had shown him and his followers hospitality, but they would not embrace his theological views. Robert Spencer notes he reasoned that this was just punishment for their betraying Muhammad, which they did because he had already exiled two additional Jewish tribes.
And so this three-step process of immigrate, increase, eliminate goes back to Muhammad himself, this infiltrating into a country, into the host country, taking advantage of their tolerance with the ultimate goal of organizing interior to overthrow it.
There are other Muslims who don't agree with this agenda.
Ultimately, the radicals or the Islamists, whether it be Al-Qaeda or Hamas or Hezbollah or any of these radical Islamist movements, feel that they want to establish societies based in Islamic law as they see it as theocracies. And I think our founding fathers demonstrated that the best society is that founded by religious individuals, as they were religious Christians, but were escaping theocracy. They wanted to establish a country based in liberty and freedom, especially one with an establishment clause where there was a separation of religion and state or church and state, but yet you could still practice your faith freely and be inspired by your faith in everything you do.
America has always welcomed immigrants, but you have to come through the front door. And when I came as an immigrant many, many, many years ago, I had to provide, even though I really was not working because I was young, tax that I don't owe the country of my origin any taxes, and that I had to go through medical physical examination, not by my doctor, but the embassy doctor, and I had to provide a police report that I don't have any criminal records. All of these things they cannot do if you just bring floods of people here. And ISIS made it very, very clear that they are sending thousands upon thousands of their foot soldiers among the refugees. I'm told that there are so many sleeper cells in the United States. The FBI kept up with them for a while, but they went beyond the numbers they thought they have.
I think what's happening in Europe is really an object lesson for us here. We're not facing at the moment, partly because of geography, anything like the flows of so-called refugees or migrants. People making what I think of as the hijra, the term used by the Muslims that goes back to Muhammad's time when he migrated from Mecca to Medina. Ever since, it has been one of the techniques of spreading the faith to migrate or colonize.
There's no country in the world that would not protect its borders. This is insanity. It's madness. Either people, I have to believe, they hate America and want to destroy America, or have other motives, which it can only be evil, because the scripture is very clear. In Romans 13, it says that the government is to protect the citizenry. They're not to get involved in, it doesn't talk about anything else, education or that or that or the other thing. It's to protect the citizens. That's the number one job, is to protect the citizens of the country. And unfortunately, those people who claim to believe the Bible in leadership, they're not obeying that part of the Bible.
There was even a leader of Islam for UK, Joram Kudare, and he was being interviewed. And the interviewer asked him if he felt guilty that he had multiple wives and was not working because the welfare was supporting him. He said, no, Allah permitted them to live off the infidel while they are subduing them. So it had sort of a parasitic type of attitude where they can live off of the host country, where their goal is to eventually eradicate the host culture and supplant it with Islam.
Islam is not just a religion. Islam is a political and social system, and it's a repressive and supremacist political system that is in contradiction to the U.S. Constitution in numerous ways, including extinguishing the freedom of speech, the freedom of conscience, the principle of the equality of rights of all people before the law. And so, consequently, we have to fight its political manifestation, or we're going to lose those freedoms.
All of this may come as a surprise to you. It's certainly not something you'll hear from the mainstream media. A bit later in the program, we will share with you some vital resources to help you and those in your sphere of influence come to grips with the truth about the beliefs and goals of radical Islam. Our founder, Dr. D. James Kennedy, earned a PhD in comparative religions from New York University. He studied Islam closely and knew the threat that certain radical segments of it pose to America. Near the fifth anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, in one of the final messages he preached, Dr. Kennedy left us with a warning and with a charge. Here's more from his message, Days of Patriotism.
Today I would like to speak to you about the struggle that we have been in for the last 5 years, a struggle that is unlike any that we have ever known before, a struggle that has cost the lives of many and will no doubt cost the lives of more. We're facing a foe the like of which we've never faced before. We're facing Islam. Now, this is not something that Christians are very familiar with. If you ask the average American to explain to them what Islam is, most probably couldn't do it. I wonder how many know that Islam teaches that men are superior to women, or that women have half the rights of men in court. Furthermore, that a man may punish his wife by beating her. A man may marry up to four wives at the same time. A wife is a sex object for her husband. Muslims must fight until their opponents submit to Islam. A Muslim must not take a Jew or a Christian for a friend. I wonder how many of you knew that. A Muslim apostate, one who turns from Islam, must be killed. Stealing is punished by the amputation of the hands. Adultery is punished by public flogging. Resisting Islam is punished by death, crucifixion, or the cutting off of the hands and feet. Fate decides everyone's eternal destination. These are some of the many rules and laws of Islam that are unknown to most of us in America. Most people really, until recently, had very little knowledge about the Islamic faith, and certainly did not consider it as any real threat. But I might remind you that Islam, Muslims, have on a number of occasions attempted to destroy Christianity. I suppose if I ask someone to tell me what those were, there'd be very few that would stand to the occasion. But I might say to you, if you go way back, hundreds of years ago, their first attempt to take over Christendom and Christian Europe went through what we now consider the eastern side of Europe, and their armies went all the way up to the borders of Germany, where finally they were stopped. But they didn't give up. They then went to the other side of Europe, to the western side, and made a second attempt to take Christian Europe. And there they made it all the way across northern Africa. They crossed into Europe. They made it all the way to the center of France, and it was only there at Tours when they were stopped by Martel, and known as the Hammer. He stopped their advance. Otherwise, they could very well have taken not only Spain, but France and possibly Germany and England. But they weren't through yet. They also made an attempt directly to take America, probably before Christopher Columbus ever heard of it. They sailed out into the Atlantic Ocean. They went several hundreds of miles out into the Atlantic Ocean, and finally they were stopped by whom? By the hand of God Almighty. And there was a great storm that swept in on the Atlantic and sunk all of their ships. So they decided to take it directly. They decided to go right across the Atlantic Ocean and find out whatever it was that was over here. They got a few hundred miles from the European shore, and again, a huge storm swept down upon their ships and sank them all. It appeared that God did not want them to take over Europe or Christian Europe or Christian America. But now we have come to a place again where they're giving their lives to take America, Europe. There are those who believe that in the next few decades that Islam will have taken over France and Germany and England. Yes, my friends, this is a very serious encounter that we're having now with the Islamic faith. And you've seen something, as I've just told you, about the commitment that they have to do precisely that. And yet we have many in America whose answer to this problem is very simple. It is cut and run. That wouldn't do it then, and it won't do it now, my friends. We need patriots like Charles Martel, the Hammer, and all of the other Christians that fought so diligently to protect Christianity from the ungodly. We need patriots. We need patriots that are willing to stand up and be firm with those that would do their very best to destroy this country. And I believe that such do exist. And I believe that America is not going to cut and run. I believe that we are going to take our stand in our time, and that we are going to defeat the plans of the ungodly. We have so many in the history of this nation who have given their lives that this nation might live. We have many that even now, this day, have their lives in jeopardy trying to maintain the freedoms that we take so much for granted. How blessed we are to have such people as these, even now, this very day, all the way across the world, who are giving their lives that we might have this freedom to worship our God. And may God grant that this freedom may continue. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for all of those from the very beginning who have given their lives that we might be free. and also that others might enjoy freedom. We thank you for your love and for your faithfulness, for those who have, through the years, stood against ungodly enemies and enabled us to gain the victory. So we pray that you'll continue to do that again, and we will see this Christian land restored to its godliness again. We pray this in his most glorious name. Amen.
As Dr. Kennedy often said, victory will come first and foremost through the gospel of Jesus Christ, who alone changes hearts. There is a greater need than ever today for Christians to effectively counter the claims of Islam with the truth of the gospel. But in order to do that, you need a basic understanding of what Islam is all about. What do Muslims believe? What are their goals? How does their view of God drive their actions and activities? You can be better informed on the truth about Islam with some valuable resources we have pulled together for you. The first is the Truth in Action Q&A booklet, What Does the Bible Teach About Islam? And we would like to send you a 5-pack as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. You've heard the claims, Islam is a religion of peace. Islam is one of many valid roads to God. Islam respects Jesus as a true prophet of God. But what is the truth? Find out from a biblical perspective in the Truth in Action Q&A booklet, What Does the Bible Teach About Islam? With this 5-pack, you can share copies with your friends, your neighbors, and fellow church members. It's our thanks for your generous donation. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or you can call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And if you're able to give a donation of $40 or more, we will send you these booklets plus the outstanding book from Robert Spencer, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. Robert Spencer is one of the West's foremost authorities on Islam, and in this in-depth but highly readable book, he tells you what the mainstream media will not about the so-called religion of peace. What did Muhammad really teach? Is there a cover-up happening in America regarding Islamic doctrine and history? What were the Crusades really about? And why aren't we told the truth? The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades provides no-nonsense, truthful answers to these questions with the facts to back them up. So please, contact us right away with your generous donation. We will send you the Truth in Action Q&A booklet, What Does the Bible Teach About Islam, as our thanks for your generous donation. And we'll also include Robert Spencer's book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, as our thanks for your donation of $40 or more. And as you give, you are helping us to broadcast the truth on issues like this, as well as providing gospel solutions to a nation that desperately needs the truth. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. The primary danger of radical Islam is not the acts of terrorism and destruction, as awful as those things are. The worst part is that Islam cannot save, even as it sends thousands of misled souls to their deaths under the false promise of everlasting life through martyrdom. So many have offered up their lives in acts of jihad in the hopes of receiving mercy from God. But by doing so, they only add to their own condemnation. As Jesus Christ himself said, "Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father, nor me." The tragic fact is, Islam has followed a false prophet. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came in the flesh, died for our sins, and was raised again from the dead, a reality witnessed by hundreds of people. The prophet of Islam, along with all other false prophets, lies in his grave today. But Jesus Christ is alive, interceding before the Father in heaven for those who put their faith in him. My friend, you and I need salvation. Salvation from the wrath of God against our sins, and salvation from death. And that salvation can only come through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the scriptures, which even Islam claims to believe, say of Jesus, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." I implore you, if you have not done so already, turn from your sin and look to Jesus Christ only for your assured salvation, which he offers you today as a free and gracious gift. If you have made that decision today, we would like to send you a book written by Dr. D. James Kennedy, especially for new believers. It's called Beginning Again, and we would be delighted to send you a copy at no cost to you. Simply write to our address or call our toll-free number, and may God bless you as you do. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
"Be thou faithful unto death," said Christ, "and I will give thee a crown of life."
What they regarded themselves as up to was what they called a grand jihad aimed at the elimination and destruction of Western civilization from within by sabotage.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.